Can't you see it? The world running on EVs and renewable energy? Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
You know, the crossover fun when your teams are good, the crossover fun, what I'm talking about last night, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jahmyr Gibbs at the Piston game. Brad Holmes was at the Piston game. DJ Reader, I heard Tim Patrick was there. And those guys get up on the scoreboard and the place goes bananas.
Yeah, as it should.
Love the crossover fun as part of the success the Detroit Lions are having, and they get into other arenas and other stadiums.
See if anybody's there tonight for the Red Wing game.
Yep, you never know. You can crank that horn. You'll have a Lion do that at the beginning of the game.
See the Ken Cal did the horn the other day?
I did. Kenny's the best.
Get the crowd all fired up.
Kenny is seriously one of the best people in the media. It was funny, during the commercial break, you told me that the point that Penn State didn't complete a pass to a wide receiver last night. And strangely, I can relate to that.
Yeah?
Yeah. Strangely.
Yeah, a small nugget of Lions breaking news.
Yeah.
Ennis Rakestraw, cornerback, rookie cornerback. His return to practice window has been started.
Oh, good.
So it looks like they may have some more depth for their second round playoff game.
Yeah, I got to hand it to some of their depth guys who had to make an appearance and played pretty well. And if Terrion Arnold looks like, you know, day to day is pretty encouraging. But with Terrion Arnold, you know, there is some question there. Having anybody else available is not a small deal, in my opinion. So good luck to Ennis, and hopefully he'll be back. 248-539-9797. We are taking your calls. Work. Does work have a Lions-related dress code? Feedback coming into the Carson Anderson inbox. The bank I work at won't allow it unless they get to the NFC Championship game. It's from Trevor and St. Clair Shores.
Sorry, no fun until then. Yeah. Was Nick Saban the branch manager? There's no fun allowed.
Wearing Lions underwear to really get the lady in the mood. That's from Eric. Does that work?
Doug, try it out.
First thing I have to do is purchase some Lions underwear. We encourage.
And then you have to parade around in it so that she can get excited about it.
Oh, I can parade.
Yeah, oh, we know you can parade. You got skills.
Aiden in his car. We encourage Lions gear at the office on Mondays, Fridays, or Thursdays, depending on what day they play. Shout out to my United States Postal Service carrier, Travis, who's been rocking Lions gear for several years now. That's from Brian at Northville. Airline captain, I wear a Lions hat sometimes in the flight deck. That's badass. Get on the plane, your captain's wearing a Lions hat.
I like it.
248-539-9797. Let's go to Max. You're on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Max.
How you doing?
We're good, Max.
I work for Meijer Stores, and Meijer, of course, is a sponsor of the Lions, and they were established in 1934.
You were there.
So they made T-shirts, Lions T-shirts, black with the blue numbers, number 34, which is Alex Anzalone.
Yep.
But we are encouraged to wear them, and you'll see team members throughout our stores wearing T-shirts, Lions T-shirts, number 34.
Okay, so that'll be in Meijer stores now?
All the Meijer stores, yes.
When did you that start, or has it been put into place yet?
Well, it's been out there for quite some time. Okay. A lot of our customer service people in the stores wear them. I work in the distribution center, and we wear them at the distribution center as well.
It's cool. All right, so yeah. Look for your Meijer workers wearing the Lions 34 T-shirts. I assume these are T-shirts.
Yes.
Okay, cool. Thank you very much, Max. 248-539-9797. Paul's in his car next. Hi, Paul.
How you doing, man?
We're great, Paul.
How you doing, Gary?
All right.
Hey, you got to change that Stafford into Jared. But about the Lions gear, I used to fly when I was a rescue swimmer in the Navy, and we had to wear a flight helmet, and it had to be 80% reflective. Well, I kind of, you know, took that as, well, 20% could be non-reflective. So I had a lion sticker, and I cut it out, you know, so right around the whole logo was before they changed it up a little bit. But anyway, I put that on my helmet. Boy, I caught a lot of flack over it, but not because of the team. I got a lot of support because of the team. I got flack because I had a sticker on my helmet. Well, what do you think happened after that? Then every time... But, you know, now those guys, everybody started putting stickers on their helmet, you know, just in a very discreet kind of a manner. But I actually was the innovator of that. Well, so I think.
Look at
I
you.
Mean, I don't know.
Look at you. What was your call sign, Paul?
Somewhere over in, I'm sorry.
What was your
I'm
call sorry, sign? What was your call sign?
Oh, you don't want to go there, man. I was, okay, you really want to know?
Yes, do we ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Buster Hyman, but it was only because things were going on in the Middle East. We had to wear fake patches, you know, it's called cleansing yourself. I don't know if I made it up. Somebody else did. We had hairy balls.
Oh, come on.
You don't want me to go there, do you? Want me to go there? Well, you know, sort of, you know, with discretion.
Discretion was not used. That call sign was something
else. Once I did that every time, and all the other guys. Like, he used discretion there. He was going, I'm gonna back off and using the names Dick and Harry, right?
But I'm gonna
every time
say
Dick and Harry, but hey, Buster, right there, right? And
Harry,
come on, man, you're awesome, and you can wear that sticker on your helmet anytime. I am dangerous.
He was dangerous.
What's his wingman's call sign?
Guys, we hit the danger zone there, man.
Without question.
What was said, many of you did not hear. Suffice it to say, his call sign was risque.
Risque, yeah.
Some of you streaming perhaps did hear.
Look, Buster Olney is one of those great follows we have on Twitter.
Harry
for his Harry, knowledge.
Of Harry Belafonte. Anyway.
Harry Belafonte. Oh.
There are calls, and then there are calls. 248-539-9797. TJ is next. Hi, TJ.
Hi, how you doing?
We're good.
First time, long time.
Thank you.
I just want to let you know that the Detroit Public Library employees can wear any and all Lions gear on the Monday after a Sunday victory.
Nice.
All right. So have you been doing it?
Absolutely.
What percentage of public library employees are following this?
I would say 30 to 40.
Okay, gotcha. Is it gaining momentum? Is this move gaining momentum?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Sweet, cool.
You got a lot of employees who really aren't, you got librarians who aren't really football fans, but they're getting into it now.
I was about to say, I don't know if that's kind of on brand for the librarian to be a Lions fan, but what do you do at the library, TJ?
I'm a technical specialist.
Gotcha. All right, so
that's kind of vague.
Computer stuff.
That's very vague.
It is kind of vague. I bet he's good at it. I bet at some point you'd need his help.
Yeah, absolutely.
TJ, thanks. 248-539-9797. Dre is in Detroit, and I'm 97 on a ticket. Hi, Dre.
Hey, good afternoon, fellas.
Hi, Dre.
I'm still laughing from that prior caller. Holy crap. Yeah. Man, that was awesome. That was awesome. Yeah, it was. Hey, I was just calling to chime in because, you know, I work for a pretty large insurance company. You know, it goes across the whole United States. But our region, for my team, our team is pretty much is Illinois, Wisconsin, all of everybody that's in our conference or in our conference with the Lions. I've been wearing Lions gear for years, getting clowned by the team. And, you know, everything now because of COVID, we're working from home more often, and we're doing everything through Teams meetings. So, of course, I'm wearing Lions gear. My wife and daughter buy me these novelty shirts to say, like, the Lions make me drink. Our team sucks, but our colors rock. So I wore them to meetings and everything. Let everybody clown me. Now I'm wearing my gear, and I got my grit sign up on the wall, my Lions flag behind me when we're in the meetings. And, of course, everybody's now on board, you know, Dre, your team is doing great. Go Lions. This and I said, okay, well, a little while ago you guys were clowning me, you know. So it's just it feels great right now with the team doing as well as they are. And the other teams, you know, in our, you know, the people on our teams from like Green Bay, like one of the managers, he had the back of my manager last week because my manager's on vacation. He's a Minnesota Viking fan. So, you know, I did not send anything for any kind of request for any kind of payments to him last week because I'm sure he was going to scrutinize
everything. Wouldn't have gone over well, huh?
Yeah, I don't think it went over well with him because he was hot. He was hot, and you know, and you hear all of those excuses. Oh, the refs were against us, and I said, no. I said, the Lions played a good game, man. Just accept the fact we played a good game. We beat you guys fair and square, and we beat you guys earlier in the season. So it's just great to be right now with the unit that I'm in because everybody that's on our team, there's two of us in Michigan, and then everybody else is like Green Bay Packer fans, Minnesota Viking fans, and Chicago Bear fans. So right now, I'm the king of the team right now, you know.
There you go.
So,
it's great to be a Lions. Great time to be a Lions fan. Thank you for the phone call, Dre. Carson Anderson. We're going to pick some games coming up in about 13 minutes here on 97.1 The Ticket. Feedback coming into the Carson Anderson inbox. Still some college football stuff. I'll complain. Two mediocre teams with below average quarterbacks. You knew the game was going to be decided by which quarterback would make the bigger mistake. How could either of these teams be in the Final Four? Okay. You think those two teams were mediocre last night? You think Notre Dame and Penn State were mediocre? Who's good?
I mean, honestly.
Who's good?
Because you're going to say Oregon, and look, I thought Oregon was the best team in college football, and then Ohio State just said, get out of here. You have no business being in this playoff. So what do you want to say? Alabama, they should have been in there. They got beat by a depleted Michigan team. Who belongs there that isn't there right now?
Because mediocre literally Georgia? Mediocre implies middle of the pack. Middle of the pack college football team.
How good is Georgia? They got Georgia's beat by one of those teams good. That you think isn't very good. So, I don't know what to say.
I unfortunately do not think that Notre Dame will beat Ohio State in the playoff. But we know for sure that Penn State would not win that big game. So, at least this is our best chance.
Well, it's the easy button to blame, to say that Penn State wouldn't win a big game. But they did win a couple big games to get there.
So part of the fallout of a future possible scenario, if Marcus Freeman, the former Buckeye, leads Notre Dame to a national championship game win over Ohio State, Gator, do you think Ohio State fans will ask for Marcus Freeman, will try to get Marcus Freeman, will want Marcus Freeman as their head coach.
100%.
In every way, with every fiber of their being.
Yes, 100%. And does would Ryan Day then be on these interview lists for NFL head coaching jobs?
Do you believe that stuff?
That what? That he'd be interviewed?
No, just, that people are already saying that he would not only is on people's list, that he would listen.
Yeah, I believe he would listen. Look, they just didn't the Jets just get done interviewing Locksley?
Yeah.
So I'm sorry, you're going to interview, Mike Locksley, who average at best teams in Maryland. I get it, it's Maryland, and it's hard to win with Maryland, but it's still that's what he is. And you're going to interview him for a head coaching job, but you wouldn't want to interview Ryan Day?
I don't know. I don't have intimate knowledge. I really don't. Like, we see some of what Ohio State fans think and feel and some of what it's like to be in Ryan Day's shoes. But it's become a storyline for people that are, like, involved. It's really uncomfortable being Ryan Day right now in Columbus. I don't know what these two playoff wins have done for him. And the question is, does the two playoff wins, has it made up for the disappointment from the extremists that find Ryan Day to be unforgivable for what's happened to Michigan in the last 4 years? Does the two playoff wins satisfy that crowd?
No, it doesn't satisfy the crowd. What satisfies the crowd is if you win a national championship. And that's, you know, last night in game day, Nick Saban made the comment that he said that, you know, we had a pretty big rival when I was in Alabama and Auburn. And one year we lost to Auburn, but won the national championship. Nobody remembers that we lost to Auburn. And he said the same thing would happen with Ohio State. And Desmond Howard was quick to say, no, that's not the case. Look, there are always going to be some people on the fringe that'll complain about that. But if you win a national championship, nobody cares. You shouldn't care.
Well,
and like I said, there'll always be some that do, but the vast majority, it's the easiest comeback in the world. If you run into a Michigan fan and they get it in your face because they've owned you for the last 4 years, so you can come back and say, okay, we won a national championship, so we got that going for us.
I feel you're very comfortable speaking for Ohio State fans.
I think the majority of Ohio State fans would feel that way. I think, look, everybody on the other side of the rivalry is going to say the other thing, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know because I really don't. It does seem as though Ohio State fans are wired differently. And that's why this has become somewhat of a national story, is because they are wired differently. But more feedback here to the Carson Anderson inbox.
They're just going to have to win the national championship. We can find out.
Yeah, well, test it. Notre Dame won the game again on the 2-for-1 at halftime. They did the same thing against Georgia, scoring 17 points in 53 seconds of gameplay. Been a huge advantage by getting those 2-for-1 points. Yeah, I mean, the middle eight, which has become this new focus of college football. I've heard more coaches talk about the middle eight, the last 4 minutes mm-hmm. of the first half and the first 4 minutes of the second half, were great for Notre Dame. And it really helps when you get the football to start the second half to win the middle eight, because you can possess the football maybe for the entire middle eight and swing the game. And that's what they did. I mean, their quarterback gets knocked out. Huge cult hero status to Steve Angeli, who drives as the backup quarterback, drives Notre Dame into field goal range on a day where no quarterback for Notre Dame had much time.
No. And I was, you know, watching the game last night, I started thinking to myself, when was the last time that we saw Notre Dame have an elite quarterback from college football? It's been a while. Like, Rick Meyer got all the hype, and he was okay. Was he elite? I mean, he was drafted high in the NFL, but didn't really amount to anything. But when was the last time? Like, they've gotten this thing done, and Riley Leonard's okay, but he's nowhere near elite. It's not like this guy's throwing a ball all over the place, you know, 300-yard passing games all the time and a force to be reckoned with. He's a good quarterback, but they have – they're going to compete for a national championship here, and they don't have that elite quarterback. Is that going to change under Marcus Freeman? Because it has been a while since they've had that guy. CJ Carr was, recruited to be that. We'll see.
The last time Notre Dame had a quarterback taken in the first round, Brady Quinn, 2007. 248-539-9797. Penn State fan here. I'm absolutely gutted from last night's game. However, Penn State lost when Franklin kicked the field goal from the two. Made me appreciate Dan Campbell even more. Yeah, I thought that was... I was okay with it because it didn't even look... That was the two pushing the three. Like, that was long. I think if they had it a little bit closer... That was right after they threw the pass on third down. It was a little bit short and Singleton dropped it. It would have been an easy touchdown.
Yeah.
And Aller... I mean, look, that was... Aller had a rough game. I mean, he was like 4 for 12 at one point.
But then also made some really nice throws.
He really did. I feel bad because I think there's a lot of it's his fault kind of banter that goes on in the and after that game. But the whole team didn't capitalize.
Well, you don't have wide receivers to throw to. And then he doesn't throw to wide receivers. Yeah, you've got running backs and a tight end. That's what they had on offense. And occasionally Aller would take off and get some yards as well, but they were running the ball pretty effectively. And I was surprised that maybe they went away from that a little bit. But in the end, give credit to Notre Dame and their defense for getting it done and for shutting down the possibility of throwing it to a wide receiver. You know, you still have to make that part of the play. And they did it without their best player on the defensive line. They did it with a banged up running back. And they did it with a roster that was full of guys that were dealing with the flu. So, good job for Notre Dame.
Well, let's get back to your open line calls. Harrison in Ann Arbor, you're on 97 on the ticket. Hi, Harrison.
Hi, gentlemen. How are you today?
Good.
I just wanted to kind of give you my thoughts on a quick take on the rivalry and how it kind of parlays into the college playoff now. I mean, if you look at the trajectory from the BCS through the 14 playoff, now with a 12-team playoff, I think we all logically can ascertain that it went from rivalries meaning almost everything to win in the rivalry game, to win a national championship in the BCS era, and then a little bit softened in the 4-team because you could still get in with one loss, as you've cited the Auburn-Alabama scenario. But I think more so now, if you look at Michigan-Ohio State this year, for instance, it helped both teams tremendously. It was like the perfect storm. It helped Michigan with Sharon Moore and to salvage their season, and now it jump-started this $20 million roster in Ohio State to get them woken up, so to speak, because they go into the rivalry games now thinking, even if we lose, we have a good chance of still getting into the big dance. So I think I was just going to make a real clear point that this year was kind of like the one year that close to home here, we can say all parties involved, it helped. But more importantly, I think moving forward, you're going to see a lot of rivalry games being either a jump start into the college playoff and maybe downplayed on the rivalry game, or it's going to help the team that maybe isn't having such a good season. So I just thought I'd just clarify the logical side of it.
Well, we appreciate the clarification. Any loss can help you in the big picture. You can use a loss for motivation. Yeah, if you
learn from your failures, yeah.
I mean, the question that an Ohio State fan or someone who covers the Buckeyes might be able to answer way better than us is, would they be where they are today if they didn't lose to Michigan? If they beat Michigan, would they be where they are?
I think they would.
I don't know why. I don't know why they wouldn't. They picked a really bad day to have a really bad day. But anyway, let's get to the picks. All right, so on to your Gators, picking at a 57% clip. I'm picking at a 56% clip. Gators strength, the NFL, 35-15-1. My strength, the locks of the week, 11-6. Are you ready, my friend?
I am.
We can pick tonight's game if you so choose, and two pro games. I will start, and I'm going to tonight's game, Ohio State and Texas. Lots of points will be put up. I will take the over 52.5 tonight, Texas and Ohio State.
Well, I like that game as well, but I like it for different reasons. I just think Ohio State's offense is going to be dominant. They're going to do to Texas what they've done to Oregon, what they've done to Tennessee. I like -6 Ohio State.
Next up, I said it earlier, I think that's way too many points to be giving a Mike Tomlin team. I will take Pittsburgh +9.5 at Baltimore.
Looking at the Washington-Tampa Bay game, I'm surprised that Washington's actually an underdog in this game, so I'll take the field goal. In fact, it's my shoot-the-boot lock of the week, the Commanders, +3 at Tampa Bay.
Final game is the Monday night game, Minnesota and LA. Love these offenses. I will take the over 48 on Monday night.
All right, I'm going to go with the Green Bay game at Philadelphia. This is an interesting game for us locally, looking at see what's going to happen with the number 2 seed in the NFC in Philadelphia. I like Green Bay getting the points. I don't know if they win this game. I think they have a real shot to win it. I think they keep it close. I like the Packers +5 at Philly.
There you go. Those are our picks. Do with them what you will. It is Carson Anderson here on 97.1 The Ticket. And Kang, you love a pick and hate a pick. Sorry I didn't send you mine, but I literally just got mine in.
No worries. I love one of your picks, Doug. I like the over in the Ohio State-Texas game. I think a lot of points will be scored. Take the over.
I don't know if I said it, but that was my lock. And which one do you hate?
Well, then I like your lock, Doug. One of the game I don't like, Doug, I know you're a big Mike Tomlin fan. I think the Ravens roll, though. 9 is a big number. I think Lamar, I know he has struggles in the playoffs, but the first round, he won't have a struggle this time around. I think Ravens by double digits.
I live by a rule. Don't give Mike Tomlin 9.5 points. Smart. One of my rules. It's a policy.
It's a policy. Yeah.
Thank you, Kang. And we will continue. Next, Carson Anderson, 97.1.
Look, it's really cold outside. It's been cold for days right now. And I know so many people may have to deal with a furnace that isn't working properly. You maybe got some busted pipes and you're not sure what to do. You're in a bind right now. Here's what you do. You see those red, white, and blue trucks all over the place? They're there for a reason, because they're helping people. They belong to Birmingham Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling. These people are amazing, and call the expert technicians over there, and they're going to help make sure that your 2025 gets started off in the right way with some peace of mind. But you don't just have to take my word for it. Of course not. Check out their A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. How about some of their 5-star reviews on Google? They've come to my house a couple times in the last several years, and they have been wonderful. So whether it's your furnace, your water heater, a boiler, or water filtration, schedule an appointment online at BirminghamPlumbingCO.com. Birmingham Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling, your Metro Detroit boiler experts.
Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97 on the Ticket. There's one thing that we haven't talked about, Gator, and I think we should bring it up. So I'm going to bring it up.
Okay.
The Ohio State-Texas game tonight is being played in the Cotton Bowl, which is in Dallas, Texas. So one of the things that came up with this whole playoff is, will fans travel to support their team through what could be 4 postseason games? Ohio State was at home in the first round. The Rose Bowl was filled. Will they be dramatically outnumbered tonight? Will this feel like a Texas home game in the Cotton Bowl?
I imagine it will feel like a Texas home. Particularly, no Ohio State fans were going to Miami to watch Ohio State play, even though they're playing in Texas.
I don't know if it was an abundance of them, but there was reports of, yes, Ohio State fans showing up. Showing up in Miami because the one guy was quoted by a Penn State writer that he met saying he read the bracket wrong. Read the bracket wrong and went to the Orange Bowl. Whoops.
Yeah, that's a big whoops. I would imagine it's overrun with Texas fans. Absolutely. And this is part of the problem when you play the northern teams have to go elsewhere to play bowl games. Because the big cities, you're going to play a game in a Sugar Bowl. Is there a possibility you might have to face LSU there or Alabama where it's a short drive or Texas teams? I mean... Yeah, this is an issue that northern teams have always had to face.
Do you remember we had the guy on from the Detroit Sports Commission?
Yeah.
And he admitted on the air, he's like, yeah, I'm sick of Indy.
Yeah, he is.
I'm kind of sick of Atlanta. Like Atlanta got the Peach Bowl, part of the playoff, and they also get the championship game.
Right.
Why is that?
And they get the SEC championship.
I mean, that makes sense. That's the SEC's home base, but shouldn't some other venue have been included, like, say, Indianapolis or some other place that could have hosted?
Ford Field?
I mean, Ford Field. It's not like they're playing the national championship game in the Peach Bowl. The Peach Bowl has been played. This is the one-off BCS title game.
Yeah, it feels like if you're going to host one of these quarterfinal games or whatever, that you don't get to do that, right?
I mean, I'm surprised that we've set up a system where Atlanta is twice the host of a postseason football game, a playoff game. Seems a little weird.
Well, it's a lot weird.
We'll say it again, though. I'm enjoying this. Do I think it's too big? Yeah, I thought it was too big originally. Would I play the games on campus sites? Absolutely, in both of the first two rounds. But I think this is a net positive for college basketball, or college football. And as it stands right now, I think this weekend shapes up to be one of the more fun weekends that a sports fan could have. I'm admittedly a huge college football fan, more than an NFL fan, but the idea of six NFL playoff games and two college football playoff games with this kind of premium on them, I think it's going to be short-lived, because I think the college calendar is going to get moved, where they're going to try and align them with the semesters a little bit more and have the championship game earlier. So I don't know that this great weekend is going to last very long.
You don't think we're going to have pigskin pandemonium?
Wow. Wow. Get it in while you can.
Enjoy it. With anthrax.
Anthrax. Manowar. Talking. Judas Priest. And Van Halen.
I wonder how many combinations, like off the cuff, you could rip of just metal bands. Five metal bands. Pentamonium. Because that's now, you've done it twice with five different bands each time.
Yeah. Let's push this, Gator.
Do we want to push this? Wasp. Striper. Anvil. Helmet. AC/DC. Try to go with the more obscure one.
You've got now three different tickets for Pentamonium. Yes. Three different shows.
This is great.
All with varying degrees of interest.
Mm-hmm. Doug, I think we're getting close to him saying Maroon 5, though, at one point here. And Nickelback.
I'm running out of names. And Dave Matthews Band. Wouldn't quite fit.
Cirith Ungol, Celtic Frost, Venom, Merciful Fate, and Poison.
It's four shows he's put together.
That's a show I wouldn't want to see.
The other three you'd see?
The Poison part I wouldn't mind, but the Cirith Ungol, Celtic Frost, Venom, and Merciful Fate, that's just not up my alley.
Yeah, me either.
I was out because of Venom.
You know what? Somewhere out there, there's probably like seven guys that know all those bands that Gator just mentioned. They're all like, hell yeah, Gator, hell yeah.
Rock on. And they all went to Gators High School.
That's entirely possible.
And they're all probably Google searching. When does this show come to Detroit? Anyway, big weekend ahead. Ideal world. Do you want Ohio State to win or lose tonight?
Win.
Do you?
Win big.
You want them to win the whole thing?
Yep.
Do you?
Well, I want the Big Ten to win, and I got no beef with Ohio State.
It'd probably beat your own. No, you don't. You have a lot in common with Ohio State. The Big Ten winning back-to-back national championships would be a nice little feather in the cap. I do like that already. It's, no. I guess Texas could win it. So Texas could win it. Texas and Notre Dame, didn't they? They were the two teams that met in the infamous Texas's back game, right? It feels like this would be if it's Texas versus Notre Dame for the national championship, this would be the matchup of the two programs that over the last couple of decades have been proclaimed to be back the most.
Right.
Right. Hey, Notre Dame's back.
No, they're back.
Hey, Texas is back.
No, they're back.
I think by definition, they will be back.
Well, they made it to the Final Four. One team's going to be playing for a championship.
This time, they are actually back. National championship game if it's Texas versus Notre Dame. Well, here is Mike Stone.
What up, boys?
How you doing?
Hello, Michael.
Good. The good Mike is off today, so off Mike is in.
Off Mike.
With Rika.
Faux Mike.
Yes.
Mike Light.
Mike Light, exactly.
Low blood pressure Mike.
Michael Loeb Light. Here,
now presenting Mike with less rage.
That's right. Yes, exactly.
How you doing, Mike with less rage?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
Good. Good. Things good in your world?
Yeah. I don't think I'm going to be in attendance scouting, but I'm going to visit my mom tomorrow. So there might be an extra ticket for the Eagles-Packers game, but I doubt it.
Oh, dude. I want you to go to that game and report back.
It's, you know what? Too cold. I'm not, you know, some of my friends have season tickets. They say, if my kid doesn't want to go, you can go. I said, okay, well, I'll be there.
The reason the kids won't want to go is because it's too cold. So.
Yes.
If cold's a problem, Sony.
I haven't been to a home Philly playoff game in decades.
Me either.
I did go to a Super Bowl, but that didn't count.
You weren't at like the 59-38 game, were you?
No. The Lomas Guarantee game?
Yeah.
No, I was not.
That wasn't the score of that game. I don't remember what the score of it was.
But it was pretty close to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. When,
that score
the
alone.
The Hail Mary at halftime?
Yeah.
Rodney Pete? That was the worst.
I had a bar appearance for that game, and let's just say I didn't see as much of that game as I probably should have.
Oh.
Yeah, but.
Yeah, I watched that game in Florida. That was the first big game I think I rooted against the Philadelphia team.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Gotcha. All right, what do you guys got planned coming up next?
Well, TJ will join us at 3 o'clock. I'm going to defend the indefensible coach coming up sometime during the show. And Rico and then Kenny, they came up with this really good idea. We're going to rank the Lions opponents that who you want to see here next week and rank them.
Have a great show. I'm sure you will. Every Friday, we leave you with a Gator rant, football pants, pigskin, pandemonium, 5 straight days of football. How do you get more time in front of the TV? Gator negotiates for you.